The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Successful people can be at the top of their game in the business world and as parents, but it can sometimes be difficult to stay above it all. Now it's time to learn from an entrepreneur who has made this a reality. Welcome to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood, hosted by Chris Efesiou. Chris and his guests will share ideas and experiences to help you manage your life in business and as a parent. Now, here's Chris Efesiou.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us. So you own or work for a small business. Now more than ever, it is essential for small businesses to connect with their clients. How can you do this? One of the fastest way of growing marketing tools is mobile apps, mobile applications, which are inexpensive or free vehicles that can help brand and grow your business. So why aren't more small companies taking advantage of this marketing opportunity? Riva Lisonski, CEO and founder of GrowBiz Media, is here to discuss why mobile applications are a must for small businesses, which demographics small businesses should target, and what $50 billion industry is going to skyrocket this year and stay strong for the next 20 plus years. Riva has covered small businesses and entrepreneurship for more than 30 years. Her content appears on numerous websites, including her own, smallbizdaily.com. She's a nationally known speaker, best-selling author of Start Your Own Business, small business advocate, and was a longtime editorial director of Entrepreneur magazine. Riva has been named one of the country's top small business influencers and has appeared on the Today Show, Good Morning America, and Oprah, frequent guest of MSNBC's Your Business, and it is my pleasure to have her as my guest here today. Riva, thank you for making the time to be with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Chris. I'm always happy to talk entrepreneurship.
Well, that's wonderful. So there is no shortage of challenges that are facing small businesses. Small Business Administration has been an advocate for this, but over the past several years, it has been a whole lot tighter with its funding and activities in general. As a matter of fact, they're getting a new director was nominated, yet to be confirmed. We have had, of course, the economic turndown. We have issues with cash flow and lending into small businesses. We have issues with Obamacare and what that would do to small businesses. And the casual listener who is listening out there today is saying, so I have one more thing to worry about, marketing my business. So given all of this, in your mind and in your experience of, you know, several years in entrepreneurship, what do you see the 2, 3, 4 major impediments to growth of small businesses today?
Well, given all that, I think you have to come down to, if you don't market your business, you're not going to be in business. So marketing really takes priority almost over anything else. If you don't have the money for a big marketing campaign, you've got to sort of scrap one together that you can bootstrap. And today's, you know, it's easy actually to do that today because of social media. So, you know, I always argue that marketing makes good businesses better, makes them more well-known, and marketing actually takes mediocre businesses and can make them great. For instance, Domino's Pizza. When you think about Domino's Pizza, it's, you know, think about it. When Tom Monahan came up with the Domino's concept, he didn't invent pizza. He didn't invent creative pizza. He didn't invent pizza delivery. It was that one sentence, you know, we'll get you your pizza in 30 minutes or less, or you'll get your money back. That was a marketing sentence that made billions and billions of dollars. So you have to understand that marketing goes to the top of your list no matter what else is going on. And that said, today it's so much easier and cheaper to market because you don't have to do the old-fashioned buy an ad, spend a lot of money ways of the past. You can do it through social media, on social media, and even buying ads on Facebook is just darn cheap.
Exactly. I recall it was Bill Gates that when he was asked once if you had $1 left, what would you do with it? He said, I'll spend it in marketing.
Yes.
Donald Trump was asked the same question. He said, I'll spend it in PR. Oh, imagine that.
Yes.
but again, you know, PR is a function of marketing. So
yes.
They both essentially said the same thing. One in a more subdued way than the other, but you know we're not here to dissect the personalities.
Exactly.
So the point is that if you don't market your business, you're not going to be in business. And the days of relying on word of mouth are, I would say, they're almost gone because very little is happening by mouth these days. Most is happening by the touch of fingers on keyboards, whether it is texting or whether it is, you know, social media and so on and so forth. And again, every study I see seems to be pointing that most of that marketing and certainly most of that communication and marketing is, if not 100%, certainly better than 90%, all about communication. It happens not on a PC, not on a stationary system, but it happens on mobile devices. If I'm an example of that, you know, I have a PC on my desk, I have a laptop that is at home and carry with me when I travel. But 90% of my work is done with my iPhone and iPad. So the idea of mobile marketing, perhaps I'm sold on it. It's a thing of the here and now and tomorrow and in the future. And if you're not on that bandwagon, better get on the bandwagon because it's moving fast.
You're absolutely right. It's moving so fast. When you look at the stats, everybody thinks, you know, you think about smartphones, and people think smartphones are something maybe millennials are playing with. But the truth of the matter is, almost everybody is gravitating towards a smartphone. And I just saw a stat this morning that 93% of people who own a smartphone access the internet with that smartphone, which means that's how they're going to find your business. That means if you're sending email marketing, if you're sending it, you know, marketing messages through email, chances are that's how they're going to open your email. And if your whatever you send does not manifest on a mobile device, if it's not easy to read, easy to blow up, if it has flash so it won't open at all, you're not getting read. They're just moving on. They're not going to go search you out when they get to a laptop. You're done. And so you need to make sure all your marketing messages can sort of appear, can manifest on a mobile device. And it's called, the easiest way to do it is have something called responsive design, because responsive design automatically adjusts to a smaller screen phone, a bigger screen tablet. So that way you don't have to get individual apps designed for all the different size phones and tablets out there.
Let's get very granular on this and talk to the uninitiated. Let's define what mobile marketing is. It isn't marketing that is you know, loaded in the back of a truck and moves. It is.
Like those trucks that carry those billboards.
Exactly.
Those were like kind of big 20 years ago. Mobile marketing is just delivering your marketing messages that, and people are opening them and reading them and seeing them on their smartphones or their tablets. And in as a matter of fact, we're still waiting for the numbers from this holiday season to come out. But when you look at last year, the holidays of 2012, the numbers of actual purchases done via smartphones and tablets surprised everybody. Just the sheer millions and millions of dollars that were transacted over a phone or a tablet. And so this is what people are buying. This was something that was very quickly adapted. There was no adjustment period. People got smartphones, starting with iPhones, right? That sort of popularized them, and everything just took off from there. And all demographics are doing it. It's teens, it's millennials, it's people in their 50s and 60s. So no matter who you're trying to sell to, that's how people are receiving your message. And then the other thing that's really important, it's a trend that we call second screening, which means we Americans, we like to be multifunctional. So when we're sitting down at the end of the day and trying to relax and maybe turning on the television, we're not just content to watching that one screen. We pick up a phone, a tablet, maybe a laptop, and that's our second screen. So while we're watching TV, we're searching for something online. And so people will search on their phone. They'll put that search term into, Google or Bing or Yahoo. And so when your website, if your website comes up, that has to be manifested and optimized for the phone as well, or they just move on. Studies show that if it doesn't load, if it doesn't work, they just go on to the next one that does.
That's very true. We are going to take a short break, but when we come back, I want to talk about why social media / mobile applications, mobile marketing, is so underused by small business. And clearly, I would venture to say that this is in part because it is not understood. So we're going to get into that and help our listeners understand how to do it, what the peril to their businesses for not doing it, how to do it, how to get it done. My guest is Reva Lisonsky. You're listening to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris Efesiou. We'll be back in a moment.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Efesiou understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees, while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Efesiou. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris Efesiou. My guest is Reva Lisonski. Please visit her website at smallbizdaily.com and follow her on Twitter at Reva. That's R-I-E-V-A. For information on this program, speaking engagement, and other activities, please visit my website, chrisefesiou.com or straightupwithchris.com. My Facebook page is Chris Efesiou, and on Twitter, I'm Chief Daddy Officer. So before the break, we talked a lot about the need for mobile marketing, but mobile marketing is, without question, underused by small businesses. Larger businesses have multiple marketing campaigns, and on Twitter and Facebook and so on and so forth, you will see not only corporate sites, but brand sites as well. Isn't that correct, Rita?
Yes. Businesses, you know, it's really kind of funny. If you go back to the 90s when websites first started being developed, small businesses led the way in terms of e-commerce. The bigger companies kind of were lagging behind. But once they got on the bandwagon, they soared ahead, and they are very quick to adapt to all the new technologies today. Very fast. You can't call them, you know, slow big businesses anymore. They're very marketing technologically forward. And so as small business owners, you have to work harder to catch up with them.
And you mentioned something that it's worth dwelling on for a minute or two. You mentioned websites. So a small business owner says, all right, so I have a website. And if that website is a website that can be seen on somebody's iPhone, tablet, whatever, then I have mobile marketing. So what else do I need to do?
Well, you have to make sure that it's seen, just because you can have a website, right? And then somebody can access your site on their phone. That doesn't mean that your site is going to be readable on that phone. If they can't blow up the type, they're not going to be able to read it. If on your website you have something that people generally click on to take them to an action, whether to buy something or get more information, if they can't just click on it, if they have to type something in, that's a lot harder on a phone and their app not to do it. And so you really have to do, it's not like you're starting from scratch. There's a ton of places out there, and this is the part, people think it's expensive. Do not think you need to develop a mobile app. You do not. Apps cost money. You don't need to worry about an app. You just need to get, like I said before, it's called responsive design. So they take the frame of your website and they put it into this responsive design kind of frame, and then your site will manifest the way it's supposed to on almost every mobile device.
So
it doesn't cost you a lot of money. That's the thing I think that freaks people out. They think, oh my gosh, it's going to cost me a fortune. It won't.
And that's entirely true. It costs very little, if any money at all. And given the way and the vehicles through which websites are being accessed today, if your mobile site is not viewable on a mobile device, if your site's not viewable on a mobile device, is as good as useless. So
right.
It is, even if it costs a little bit of money, it's money well spent, because it makes the difference of being able to see it or not.
Exactly.
So, mobile marketing.
Can I give you like an example? Everybody, women, right? Women are just the consummate consumers today. So many entrepreneurs are marketing their products, their services to women. So in my, I write a weekly blog for AT&T Small Business. So the one that went up this week is about targeting marketing to women. And I found this survey, a new survey that talked about marketing to women, the way to do it is through their mobile devices. 98% of women in this survey have their smartphones with them wherever they go. 98%. I mean, that's virtually everybody. And so think about, you know, whether you're sending them an email about a sale, about a promotion, whether you're trying to get them to come to your store or go on your website or whatever action you're trying to do. If you're trying to capture a female customer, you need to be able to do that on a mobile device. There's just, you don't have a choice.
And without question, women are the by far those who are the greatest buyers. And therefore, if you cannot access them on a mobile device, you're letting the market pass you by.
Exactly.
So let's get into some tangible things. Say you have a food business, whether that is food supply or a restaurant, you pick it. How is it that I, as a restaurateur, what is it that I should do to grow my business?
So that's a great example, because I once wrote about, there was another survey. I love surveys because they're full of really tactical, you can't argue with stats, right? They're numbers. That somebody did a survey of people right before lunch hour and what they did from their mobile devices. And people went up between, let's say, 11 and 12, people start going on their mobile devices searching for restaurants. They don't necessarily go to a specific restaurant. They might, but they go in search of a restaurant. Then they click on however they get there. So that whatever manifests on their phone, you have to have directions. You have to have a menu. You have to have your hours. You want to tell if a reservation is required. You want to put that in, whatever vital information you want at the very top of your screen to tell them. So this survey went on to say that within 45 minutes after consumers went on their phones to search for a restaurant, something like 80-something percent of them were in their butts and seat at a restaurant. So that's almost instant gratification, you know? They're hungry, they take their phone out, where am I going to eat? They find some place, they go there. So if your restaurant doesn't show up and if it doesn't have your hours, your menu, it's a great way to do daily promotions. And the beauty of web marketing, of doing this, is you can, let's say things are slow. You can get a message out, whether it's text messaging, you can start compiling lists of customers, get them to opt in to receive a text message from you. You can promote something. Let's say your special of the day is, some kind of fish that's moving slowly. You can send out a message on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Foursquare, whatever it is, that says, hey, if you come in here in the next hour, our special is 30% off. And so you're actually instantly driving customers to your store. You're instantly increasing revenue.
And, of course, having links to your social media, whether that's Facebook, Twitter, or whatever, having those links very prominently displayed on your website is a key.
Exactly. For restaurants are a great example, because restaurants, there is a site called Yelp that started out as a restaurant review site, right? And
right.
I've actually talked to entrepreneurs who are afraid of Yelp. I just wrote about this last week. Like, are you scared of Yelp? So they think that if they don't register, if they don't go claim their business on Yelp, I actually had a restaurant owner tell me, I'm not on Yelp because I don't want people to say bad things about me. And I said to her, they are saying bad things about you. You just don't know it. You don't know what they're saying, so you can't correct it. You can't say, no, I'm sorry you had a bad experience. Let me make that good for you. Or you're just letting the bad news sit out there unanswered. And so you have to go on to these ratings and review sites, and you have to monitor them. You have to know what people are saying about you, and you have to very politely and unemotionally go in. This is the first line of customer service right now, and for a lot of businesses, but particularly the restaurant business, it's sites like this. And I myself, as a consumer, I have a dinner after our call, and a friend of mine's in town, and he's in a certain part of my county that I'm not familiar with, and he said, I want to go to Mexican food, and I'm like, okay, I don't know. I went on Yelp to find, you know, a Mexican restaurant that was well-reviewed near where he's staying. That's what consumers are doing. I'm not special, you know. So that's what they're doing. So you want to make sure that your restaurant is very visible on those places.
That's very good advice. So when we obviously want to utilize social media as part of our mobile marketing campaign, is there a platform, a site, a vehicle that in your considered opinion is better than another? I mean, clearly you want to go someplace, advertise your craft on whatever medium allows for transfer of information, but at the same time, not everything works the same way.
Exactly. That's very, very true. So studies have shown that if you have a consumer business, that Facebook is the number one way for businesses to talk to consumers. If you have a business, you know, if you're a B2B business, LinkedIn is the number one way to talk to business consumers. Twitter comes, you know, second or third in both. They're both. So I think that if you have a business, a consumer business, you have to be on Facebook and Twitter. If you're a B2B, you have to be on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. And then if you are selling something that's very visual, jewelry, clothing, furniture, if you own a hair salon, then I think you have to be on Pinterest. Instagram is coming up very rapidly as a business function. People are, you know, businesses are posting pictures and, again, you know, coming out, look at our new necklace we just got in. We got a new shipment of pashminas, whatever it is that you're doing. So the visual mediums are coming up very, very rapidly. And that also, I want to get this point in, if you post on Facebook, if you put a picture on your Facebook post, you will get 67% more click-throughs than if you post without a picture.
That's a very important point to make, and there's an awful lot to be said about that, but I want to take a short break. I want to talk about that on the other side of that break. Please stay with us. We'll be back in a short moment. Thank you.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Epicu understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Efesiou. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris Efesiou. My guest is Reva Lisonsky. Please visit her website at smallbizdaily.com and follow her on Twitter at Reva. That is, again, R-I-E-V-A. Before the break, we were talking about certain websites, social media platforms that people should use depending on what it is that they're trying to market. And Reva made a very important point that applies to the use of pictures along with posts or entries. And I think, Reva, you said that it was 60-some percent of...
67%.
Of those ads or posts that have pictures get more click-through.
Yes.
And I believe that that is entirely correct because I use Facebook and I literally do not see the posts that do not have pictures because I think our eye has gotten trained to be going down a virtual page and be looking for things of interest, and nothing is more interesting than a picture.
Exactly. You know, when you think about, I mean, I liken pictures on your Facebook page, on your website, to window shopping in a store. You know, that's the original advertisement, right? So people walk down a street. When you have your store windows done up in a way to capture someone's eye, the intent is to capture their eye to propel them into the store. So think about a picture on your Facebook as the same kind of thing. It's to capture their eye and propel them to your Facebook page, which then sends them to somewhere else, whether to your store or to your website. When you think about the evolution of media, right, that going back a long time, you can tell I'm a journalism student now, you know, before there was TV, there was radio. So pictures weren't that important because we were used to getting our information without having to see something. Television came about and changed that entirely. And then USA Today, 25, 26 years ago, came around and changed the way we consume news entirely, you know, with adding graphics, color. And now you look at all newspapers, there are much bigger pictures on newspapers. A lot of them are in color because you're exactly right. Our eyes are now trained to see the picture first, and it's an entryway into everything else.
Exactly. It's a very interesting question from one of our listeners. This comes from Justin in Dallas, Texas. Justin says, being a small business owner myself, I'm overwhelmed by finding the time to be present in my business and do social media. How is mobile marketing managed, and what is the approximate cost? Also, how do you get potential clients to access and use your mobile apps?
So, again, remember, it's not mobile apps. So you're just changing your website so it manifests itself mobile. You don't have to do anything different once you make that transformation. So the first thing I would do is talk to your web host, right? We all have somebody who hosts our website, GoDaddy, the big ones, you know, GoDaddy or web.com. In Dallas, there's a company I actually do some work for called biztraffic.com. Same kind of thing. So talk to your web host first because chances are they have the ability to take your site, pour it into a responsive design, and you're done. It will cost you a little bit of money, but not much. And then that's it. You don't have to tend to that any differently than you have to tend to your website. And if you think about then looking at your big website in terms of, pictures, but, you know, you don't want to, Flash used to be really big, right, in websites. It's some kind of program, and it would make pictures lively. And then iPhones came about, and they didn't, they for some reason they decided we're not going to let Flash manifest itself on an iPhone. Well, they changed the industry. So now nobody designs for Flash anymore, because not only won't it show up, you know, on any iPhone, but people now, it makes anything sluggish. It's slow to load. If sites are slow to load, people move on. And so I understand what he's saying, and I understand that social media is a time suck. There is no question, but you can ignore it. It's just part of marketing, and you have to find a way to make it happen. Whether you hire an intern, it doesn't necessarily take a full-time person. You can hire a part-timer to take care of a lot of it, but you can ignore social media. But don't think of mobile like that. It's just you get it done, and then you don't have to worry about it all the time.
So let's talk about target audience and demographics. Everybody wants to market to the right audience. In fact, if they don't market to the correct audience, they are throwing money away. How does one identify their target audience? Use any example you wish, just to sort of hone us into that idea.
Let's say
that I'm the same restaurateur that I am trying to market to my target audience, but the kind of food I feature is probably not the kind of food that somebody on a budget, which will probably look at the very young and college graduates, fresh college graduates and things like that, they probably will not be able to afford my pricing. How do I find out exactly who can afford my pricing? Who is my target audience?
There's so much information out there. One of my favorite places that you can get a lot of demographics for your local area. So if you're a restaurant, right, you are bound by your geographic location. So the Census Bureau, you know, the U.S. Census Bureau, it's census.gov, G-O-V, has just tons of information about demographics by zip code. Call your local chamber of commerce or your city. They all have that information. And, you know, their job is to encourage business. So they're going to be happy to share with you that in this demographic, by zip code, this is the average income. So you'll be able to target that. And then you can then go onto Facebook and actually buy ads cheap that target. I don't know if you can target it by zip code, but you can target it locally. And so there's always a way to look at that. But look at things that people, you know, I live in California, so I'm going to assume a lot of cities have this, but maybe they don't. We have a local throwaway newspaper that shows up, you know, it gets tossed on your driveway once a week. So people think, oh, it's just a throwaway newspaper, but that's the local paper, right? So most people look at that, and if there's a new restaurant that opens, that's where they're going to find out about it. It's figure out where people get their local news. See, in your particular example, let's say millennials can't afford that, but it sounds like maybe business people, right? Going for expense account lunches may be able to afford it. So does your city have a local business journal? The business journals also generally come out once a week, and they go to business people because that's who subscribes to them. And so it's a matter of understanding what kind of area you're in. Are you in the business area? Do people have to drive a long way to get to you? And then sort of niching your marketing so tightly that you are talking to those people and not wasting money by broadcasting to a wider audience, in which case, you know, maybe 3% of them care. It's always better to go to a place they might have a smaller circulation, but if they're more your people, if they're your demographic, you're going to get a better result. It's all about ROI, right? Return on investment. It's what you get back for what you put in.
It's very true. And if I understand what you said correctly, using your example of California, so let's say that you open up a restaurant in a suburb 20-some miles from Los Angeles. Chances are good that that suburb would probably have either a local or a regional newspaper. So you're not going to put an ad in the LA Times. You're going, because the person who will read the LA Times is less likely to drive 20 miles to your restaurant than the very local people who probably live a stone throws away from there.
Exactly. Exactly. Or, you know, one thing that people, a lot of small business owners think they can't afford is television. And you can't. You can't afford regular television. But look into cable, because, again, cable targets specific tiny areas. And so you might be able to afford a cable, an ad on cable TV that you could not afford in a newspaper, because it's you're marketing to a group that overall is very tiny, even though they might 98% of that group might be your market. And so that you don't want to look at the mass numbers. Advertising became a game of mass numbers. The mass is not important to small businesses. You're not Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola needs to reach everybody. You're trying to reach people in your area to get them into your store, or people maybe all over the country to get them onto your websites. But it's a much cheaper, it's a cheaper way to do that.
Yeah, and there's also other creative ways. For instance, that of sponsorship in Washington D.C. There is a plumbing company that operates throughout that area, and they sponsor the weather or some cameras that are used in the weather report in one of the local stations. So you know that every time you see a view from that camera, which is usually that looking at one of the airports in Washington, it comes into you from Michael and Sons. So it's an inexpensive way to get your name in front of a whole lot of people. And again, marketing of all kinds is all about creativity of how you're going to get the word out there. And your success is limited by one's ability to think out of the box.
Right. And there's a lot of ways now. You can join with your fellow business owners. If you have a physical location, get together with people in your strip center or in your town, and you can work together to help refer people to each other, to pass out each other's brochures. There's a new company called Alignable.com, Alignable.com, that does just that, that helps bring business owners in a particular locality together to help them, you know, share tips and secrets and help them market to each other's customers. That's key.
Networking in its best.
And it doesn't cost you anything.
My guest is Riva Lisonski. You're listening to Straight Up with Chris. We'll be back in a moment.
News. Opinion. Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Epicu understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris. Real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Efesiou. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris Efesiou. My guest is Reva Lisonsky. Please visit her website at smallbizdaily.com and follow her on Twitter at Reva, R-I-E-V-A. So you talked earlier about a industry, $50 billion industry, you said, that is set to skyrocket. What industry is that, and is it going to be one of this, you know, flashes in the pan, or is it going to stay strong over a period of time?
So I think this is, I love this number because it's an industry that's been around forever. It's the wedding industry. It's already a $51 billion industry, and it is about to have a skyrocketing streak that is going to last for at least 22 years. And let me explain why. So we're talking pure demographics. It's just pure and simple. The second, what they call the echo boom, you know, baby boomers, baby boom year is actually an official term in the United States, and it's any year that 4 million kids were born. So 4 million kids were born between 1946, every year, between 1946 and 1964. And then between 1965 and 1986, that number went well below 4 million. And in 87, it started climbing up. And in 88, it hit 3.9 million. And in 90, it hit 4 million, and essentially, I think a couple of years in there, it went back down to 3.9. So essentially, you could round up and say since 1988, 4 million kids a year have been born in this country. The average age that women get married, now that has gone up a little bit too, is now 27. So if you do the math, right, those 3.8 million kids who were born in 1987 turn 27 this year. And so they're going to start getting married. The wedding industry impacts just a zillion different industries. It impacts restaurants and clothing and florists and gifts and stationery shops and videographers and photographers and jewelry stores and travel agencies and hotels and just name that, that the wedding industry has that big of a reach. You add that to the growing acceptance of gay marriage in the U.S., and you have exponential more millions of people who are going to start getting married every single year. And so that's just going to impact all those industries I just mentioned for at least the next 22 years. Then when you play that out, after people get married, what happens? They move, they buy stuff, they have kids, they buy more stuff. Those kids grow up, and the whole cycle starts all over again. And so this is not a fad. This is, I think, here to stay forever, as far as I can tell, that we are going to have more kids born, more kids getting married, more kids born, more kids getting married, just in that cycle.
I can't tell you how happy I am to hear that it's the wedding industry, because my daughter works in that industry, and so it is all good as far as I'm concerned. So, and again, you brought up a very interesting point that you know, gay marriages are becoming far more acceptable. More and more states are legalizing them, and It is a segment of the market that did not exist 4 or 5 years ago.
Exactly. And when you look at the states today that have legalized it, you have a lot of the big populous states, you know, New York, California, Massachusetts, Washington. So you have a lot of, and you know, today in Virginia, they said they're not going to fight it. It's just inevitable. I think it's just going to happen. And so looking at from that entrepreneurial opportunity point of view and think about how exponentially that increases the ability to make money. So when they first legalized gay marriage in California before they legalized it again, but the first time, for that first week that gay marriage was legal in California, there was an article in the LA Times about how all the restaurants and florist shops in downtown LA just had amazing weeks of businesses because of people going to City Hall and getting married. And so, and then there's been other studies by the knot.com is sort of the Bible of the wedding industry that shows that gay people who get married tend to spend more money on their weddings, even though their weddings are smaller. And so it's just good news all around for people in that industry. And like I said, the wedding industry encompasses so many smaller ones, wedding gowns, tuxedos, just everything. It's just going to be a boom time for anybody in that business. So good for your daughter.
Yes, indeed. And since we're naming names, she works for the Knot's chief competitor, who is Wedding Wire.
You know what? I think the Knot and Wedding Wire actually teamed up to do the survey that I read.
I'm not surprised. So next year, I'm going to have you come back to tell me what a great business the legalization of marijuana is, because I will tell you, that is, from everything I see, it's supposed to be on the up and up. But there's not even enough time to ask you for a response on this. So we only have a minute or two left. In about a minute, could you look into your crystal ball and tell me if 2014 and beyond is going to be a good year for fresh, brand new startups?
My gut says yes, and every survey that I've seen also says yes. And one of the reasons for that, ironically, is Obamacare. That there's a lot of people who stayed on a job because they got health insurance on that job. Now that it doesn't hold anybody to a job anymore. And so all the surveys are showing that people are going to be starting businesses, and a lot of it is demographics. You have a lot of people over the age of 45 who are still looking for jobs because they got laid off in the recession, and people aren't hiring 50-year-olds and 55-year-olds, so they're starting businesses. And then you have the millennial generation, and they are just inherently entrepreneurial. They want to do their own thing. They're not afraid of it, because for people, you know, our age, it wasn't something that was out there. It was kind of new, and there was a little bit of fear about starting your own business. For millennials, it's just one of the options, you know? It's just
exactly
the kind of thing of, should I open a men's clothing store or a baby clothing store? It's just an option. And so we see demographically everybody starting businesses, and it's just easier to do it.
Indeed. Well, I will definitely have to ask you to come back and continue this discussion in the not-too-distant future. For today, I want to thank you very much for all your time and insight. It was most eye-opening.
Thank you, Chris. I had a great time.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. I hope you all join me next Thursday at 6 p.m. East, 3 West, on Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk for Business and Parenthood. Until then, seize the moment, every moment, at work and at home. We'll talk more next week. I'm Chris Efesiou. Thank you for listening.
Thank you again for tuning in to Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk on Business and Parenthood.
Please join your host, Chris Efesiou, again next Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time and 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Make it an engaging week at work and at home. Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.